Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad I get to hang out with you again today. And I just want to thank you all for the feedback I've been receiving from my women's wellness series in September. I had so much fun doing that. And yes, I do plan to do more topics related to women's wellness. So please keep in touch with me. Let me know what you want to hear more of because I'm listening and I just love all of that stuff. Today, I'm super excited because I am beginning a month of all parenting related topics. And I know many of you found this podcast because you either read one of my parenting books or found me somewhere related to raising boys, homeschooling, raising amazing. And we are going to dive in. We're going to cover some of the topics that I get asked the most about, hot topics and challenging parenting issues. The month of October, even going into November, we're going to tackle all of them. And today is super special because my guest, Lauren Gaines, brings together two of my favorite topics, one being biblical parenting and the other being brain science. That's right, all the stuff I love to talk about and even touched on a lot in the Women's Wellness Month. Well, Lauren brings all that together with a background in school psychology and a love for biblical parenting and now being a new homeschool mom as well. So I think you're going to love this conversation. She shares a lot of really helpful practical tips. And of course, I'll link to everything we talk about over in show notes, which you can find at monicaswanson.com/Lauren-Gaines. And that's G-A-I-N-E-S. Now, before we get into today's episode, I want to share a recent review from Apple Podcasts. And what I try to do every month, beginning of the month, is I share one review from Apple Podcasts. And if you hear me share yours, then you get to email me and I send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. Isn't that a great deal? So today I'm reading a recent review from Crystal S. She titled it Excellent, thank you, and gave the podcast 5 stars. And this is what she wrote. She said, I love listening to your podcasts, but I must say that recent one about overcoming food, exercise, and dieting was exactly what I needed to hear. I've already shared it with several friends. Thank you. Well, Crystal Dash S, thank you so much. And please email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. And I'd love to send you a Starbucks card as a thank you. And I'm just so happy to hear that you enjoyed that episode and the Women's Wellness Series. Guys, if you have never left a rating or review for a podcast, it's super easy and it means so much to podcasters. So all you have to do is go on your podcast app. You just scroll down to where you see 5 stars. You can tap on those 5 stars. And then if you have a quick moment, you can leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. And again, I might just choose yours to share next month and then you'll get yourself a little Starbucks goodie. Okay. And now without further ado, let's chat with Lauren Gaines about raising mentally strong and healthy kids. I hope you're encouraged. Hey, Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me today.
You are like my people. I love what you're all about. I was just telling my husband that you bring so many of my favorite worlds together, and I just can't wait to dive in. So before I start throwing a bunch of questions at you, can you give a quick introduction?
Yeah. So it's such a treat to be here because I was a part of your launch team for Becoming Homeschoolers. Yay. And it was such a gift to me because truthfully, writing my book changed my life. I was hoping that it would change other people's life But when I started writing it and looking at all the research, especially at the end, the last few chapters are about home and rest and rhythms of routine. And I wanted a slower pace of life. And being married to a physician, I kind of just always thought, like, this is just the life I have. Like, we're just going to have a busy life. And if we homeschool, I know it's all going to fall on me just because of my husband's work schedule. And I was like, and I don't really want that responsibility. And so, but God changed my heart. I told God, I always kind of like had a thought of homeschooling. And was just not feeling ready and was like, God, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to change my heart. And he did. And then just reading your book was such a gift to me. We homeschooled for the first time last year and we're doing it again this year. And it has been so wonderful. Of course, there are days where I'm like, why are we doing this? I have three kiddos and it's such a beautiful gift to be with them and to just bring God into every moment, every everyday life, really to live out Deuteronomy 6. And we really enjoy it. It's given us to, our kids are also involved in sports. And so it's given us that time to kind of rest before the chaos of like, you know, picking up from school, quick, grab something to eat, run to dinner. Like I hate that. And homeschooling has given us a chance to not live in that just like hamster wheel of stress.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Okay. Tell us more what kind of doctor your husband is and where you live and tell us your background too, because that's going to lead us into today's conversation.
Yeah. So my husband is an internal medicine physician and he's studying to be boarded in lifestyle medicine too. So he also likes to look at kind of root problems and looking at the whole body experience. So we have some interesting conversations because I'm also interested in that. But we live in Pennsylvania and I, before kids, worked as a school psychologist. So I did a lot of counseling because I was in Baltimore City Public Schools and the counseling need was heavy. But then I also tested kids for special education and worked with teachers and parents to really help their kids learn best and look at the different types of learners and find accommodations or things that are going to help them really understand the material for their specific learning needs. So then after that, I knew I kind of wanted to be home when my kids were home. So I was able to be an adjunct professor at a local university and taught human development and intro to psych. And so I've always kind of like kept my foot in the psychology door, but have really loved being at home with my kids.
So cool. And how old are your kids now?
And so they're 11 and my son just turned 9 and 5.
Wow. Okay. So I'm excited to talk today about the brain. Anyone who's followed me for long knows that I love to geek out on brain science. And I just celebrate that God's word and brain science go together so well. Like I just appreciate so much that we can look back and say, wow, all these things that people are just now discovering are in the Bible. Like if you look back,
this is
stuff that God had written in his word thousands of years ago. And so it's really fun to kind of see it all come together and recognize that God's given us such a tool in our thoughts, in the ability to take thoughts captive and to redirect them. And so then when we talk about parenting, it's really incredible to think that we have this opportunity to help our kids with all of this. And we're kind of talking today, drawing from a few specific chapters in your book, Unshakable Kids, Three Keys to Raising Spiritually Strong and Emotionally Healthy Children. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book overall, and then we're going to dive into some kids and brain science.
Yeah. So as you said, there are three keys, the first one being the mind, because I feel like that's so important. And especially as a mom, I was shaky. That's how the title Unshakable Kids came, because when my kids came to me with a problem, you know, when they're little, it's like little problems, but as they get bigger, it's like friend issues and bigger problems. And I realized that I would kind of go right into those panic mode, anxiety, fear thoughts. And it was like going down this spiral. And I was like, I don't want to live like this. And I don't want my kids to feel like they need to keep that pattern. Because a lot of these patterns are going to come from your parents or your home environment. And so if you have that kind of thought pattern, your child might tend to have that negative thought pattern too.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to tackle that and make sure that I could give my kids tools to go out into the world where they could feel confident, where maybe a struggle would come, they would come against an obstacle, but they they like fear wouldn't be this first response, that they would have a tool and know what to do. And so that's why I started with the mind, but then also went deeper to the heart, because we can distract our minds and we can, you know, think positively, but if there's heart issues, they're going to keep coming up. It's going to keep impacting our thoughts. And so we really need to get to the heart and allow God to transform that. And even as parents, we could be parenting from some heart wounds. And so we need to make sure that we have whole hearts to raise whole kids. And then the last key is identity, because I think it's pretty obvious that there's an attack on identity in today's world. And so we're really laying that foundation of faith so kids know who they are and what God says about who they are, so that they can walk bravely into the world. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about just helping our kids in this area, whether somebody has a child who tends towards anxiety or worry or fear or struggles with their identity, whatever it is. Parents, we are not God. Only God can change hearts and minds, but we have a lot of opportunity to really guide our kids and inform them and teach them. And I think at a pretty young age, some of this stuff can make sense to our kids if we're intentional about talking about it. Though I know that some of the things our kids face might seem a little tricky, or we don't know how to approach it the right way. But well, I'll just read one of the questions you posed in your book. You wrote, "How do we handle situations where our children don't recognize that their thoughts are causing them more discomfort than the actual situation?" And I know you shared a story there about a time your daughter, I believe, was sick. This is something that most people will relate to, where they've got a child all worked up about something and we have perspective, but our kids get kind of in that spiral. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think a lot of my oldest especially had struggled with knowing that her thoughts are affecting her body. And it was just like, this needs to end so that I can feel happy. And a lot of times, I mean, sure, there are times, like, let's be honest, where our circumstances change and we will feel better. But there's also going to be times where our circumstances can't change. We're in this, you know? And so we have to face it and we can't deny it. And the thing that can change is our thoughts. And so to get kids to that point where they can recognize, I can change my thoughts, though, they first have to really understand that they think thoughts, because it's such a weird thing to, we have thousands of thoughts running through our head. And so we don't even realize it. And I always kind of wonder at what point, like, is it three? I asked my kids this actually the other day. I'm like, when did you realize you had thoughts? And they told me three, but I don't know if that's true or not, because I think we're constantly making snap judgments. We're constantly thinking about what we need to do next. Like, we have multiple thoughts at the same time running through our head. And so when kids really realize, like, wait, I'm thinking something in this moment. I'm not just feeling panic, or I'm not just like, this has to end. I'm actually telling myself something, whether it's, so my daughter does not like having a stuffy nose. She doesn't like mouth breathing, and it like puts her into a spiral. I don't know why, but that is just like one thing she cannot stand. And so she just kept thinking about it. My nose is stuffy. It's never going to get better. I'm not going to be able to sleep. And then if I can't sleep, I'm going to be tired tomorrow. And then I'm going to be still sick. And it just like created this downward spiral. She wasn't saying this out loud, but this was internally happening, and she didn't even realize it. And, you know, we had done all the things. We had done the nose spray, the chest rub, and like nothing helped. And so it was like, okay, you have to sleep at some point, and I can't just snap my fingers and take your cold away. So what can we do in this moment? And I realized I needed to get to her mind, because she didn't know how much her thoughts were just causing more panic and more stress and even tears. And then if you cry, you're only going to make your nose stuffier. So we need to like stop this spiral. And I have something called a cognitive distraction, which I think is a really helpful tool, but also we don't want to constantly use it so that we don't get to the root of the problem. You know, if you're always needing to distract your mind, then maybe something's going on there. But I can share a little bit about that is.
No, I think this is really helpful. Cognitive distractions. Go for it.
Yeah. So for kids, when often, even adults, if you just say, stop thinking that, you're going to think it more, you know, like the more you try to stop thinking it, the more you think it. And so we really need to take our minds off of that. And for adults, that could be citing a scripture, that could be going for a quick walk, doing an activity with their hands, but kids may need something different. And so I have like little brain builders in my book that are kind of action steps that you can do right now with your kids.
Really practical.
And the one has the cognitive distraction. So we have done something like called an ABC game, and it could be things in the room, like find something that starts with an A, find something that starts with a B, or you could just say like, name all the fruits you can that start with A. Yeah. And then once you kind of exhaust that, okay, now B. And my daughter has actually told me, she competes in gymnastics, that sometimes there's this like wait time before she gets to go on the beam or the bars. And yeah. especially if you're seeing people fall, like you can just start to panic and think that's going to be me, you know? Yes. So she has used this even in competition and said it just kind of helps relax her. Because again, when we, the more we try to say, don't think about falling off the beam, then that's all you can think about. And yes. so it's good to know these tools to use in the moment to bring your body back to that sense of peace and out of fight or flight, because we're not really thinking rationally often when we're in fight or flight. So that's not going to be the time to really like lecture your kids on like, your thoughts have power, because they right? just need an immediate relief from it.
Yes. No, I totally have seen that play out in my own home. So you're saying in that moment, kids are worked up, give them something to get their mind immediately distracted. Yeah. ABCs. Yeah. Or I've heard somebody say, you know, count backwards from 10 or do a math problem. So
something where your brain power has to be on something else. You're literally switching the brain waves. And some of those can be so ingrained. Like you may have a negative thought that just always comes mm-hmm. in a certain scenario. And so really to counteract that, the great news though, is that we can make new brain waves we can literally change the structure of our brain. And that is exciting. And
can you go into that a little bit, and maybe how, because this is stuff I've been talking to my 14-year-old about. He's super funny, but he tends to say things that are kind of a joke, but he says them over and over. And I'm like, you know what? You are creating neural pathways. Like there are super freeways in your brain. And if you say that enough, even if you think it's funny, it's negative. So let's rewire your brain. How would you talk to a younger child and explain that so that they might, even if they don't fully understand it, they might be willing to try forming new pathways? And maybe for anyone listening, just explain how that works in our brain, because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, two things kind of came to my mind right away. I do talk a little bit, just to bring it back to the Bible, in the book, one of the brain builders, about how God spoke the world into existence and how powerful our words are. And one of my friends actually brought this up to me, and I was like, that is such a cool point, that the universe has continued to expand. Like it's expanding every day, every second, it continues to expand. And that's just from God speaking the world into existence. Mm-hmm. So his words are continuing to impact, like in the beginning, you know, that's God cool. created the heavens and the earth. And so before we ever speak, it's a thought in our head. So I think that's one kind of example to show kids how powerful what we say is. Mm. But then also there's so many science experiments you can do with like talking to plants, you know, and how that can help them. Like if you say mean things or negative things or play happy music, like it helps the plant thrive more. And so that is, we have similar cells. Our cells are going to respond to what things we say and speak over ourselves. And so there are certain pathways that can become automatic. I know for me, my son was hospitalized at 18 months with respiratory distress. He did not have RSV, but had like another bad virus, and it was scary. So then after that, anytime he coughed, it was just this automatic feeling of I'm going back to that place, that those feelings I had. And I really, really had to try to rework that. And one thing I say in the book too, is how powerful writing is. Cause sometimes our own mental strength of like, just think this instead is right. difficult, but there is power in writing. And they've done research that shows that when you write it down, it actually goes into your long-term memory. It's going to go into your brain. And so writing, journaling is so good, and really writing out like, this is what, and giving it to God too. I should have said that from the beginning, like, God, this is what I'm thinking, and admitting it, because sometimes the enemy wants you to not admit what you're feeling, to just hold it in and for you to wrestle with it. But that's like one of the worst things you can do. We need to get it out into the light and we need to share it with a friend or with God and write it down and say, this is what I'm thinking, but this is what your word says. Mm-hmm. And I want to meditate on this instead. And so writing out that scripture, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And just claiming I have a sound mind, even if you don't feel it, I think there's power when you claim it, and when you write it, eventually it's going to come to be.
Totally. No, that's so good. And you have a lot of research in your book. And I've been telling my son that, like really, you have to trust me. There is actual science behind this. The words that you repeat, whether it's in your brain or out loud, will shape you into who you're becoming. And so be really careful with that. I love to, and you say the only person who has control over your happiness is you. I think some kids want to blame, some adults too. We want to blame everybody else for however we're feeling. But I think that's really powerful for kids to understand that despite their circumstances, anything they're up against, only they can control their own happiness, right?
Yeah. And there, I do cite research from a neuroscientist who looked at the brain and said that the words we speak, the brain is more powerful than any drug in the world when it comes to reshaping our thoughts. So the word, and all of that happens in the language part of the brain. And so it really is important to take an inventory of our thoughts and to be teaching our kids at a young age that to pay attention, you know, because I think life is so busy that we can just go through the day and not really like pay attention to what we're thinking. And
yes.
I think one thing I did, so my son is playing baseball and this is his first time doing kid pitch. And so they had their first game last night and like, I don't think he's ever practiced pitching and they put him in as pitcher in like the third inning. And I was like texting my husband, like, what is happening? You know? And at first it was a little rocky, but he did so well and ended up like striking out two of the batters. What? And so
there we go.
That night before bed, I was like, hey, what were you thinking? Like, what, tell me, you know, because I think when kids say it out loud, then they realize, and when they really are forced to take an inventory of like, what was I saying to myself? Like, I can do this, you know, like, it's okay. I can do this. And it was just good to hear him say out loud what he was saying to himself to encourage himself so that he kind of knows, like, if a new situation comes and I don't really know what I'm doing, like, I've done something hard before, I can do it again.
Yes. Sports are such a great way to apply all of these things. And with that, you talk about the cognitive triangle. And I love a good diagram to help me wrap my brain around things. So why don't you talk a little bit about what that is and how we can help our kids understand and apply it?
Sure. Yeah. And this is not something that I've come up with, but it's part of cognitive behavioral therapy. And I learned it in grad school. And then this was like when I learned, they call it CBT. I really was amazed, as you said at the beginning, just like, God, science is confirming what you wrote 2000 years ago. So the cognitive triangle looks at how our thoughts are connected to our actions and our feelings. And so each point of the triangle is going to be your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. And often kids can express how they feel. They might not know the depth of the emotion, but usually kids have language to say like, that made me mad or that made me sad. And sometimes we need to kind of sit and help them. I think about, we just saw Inside Out too. You know, like sometimes there is jealousy when you're angry or like there is going to be envy or something a little deeper. So we may need to kind of help them navigate that. It, they may be able to know that the first emotion, but sometimes there's multiple emotions with a certain situation and then. So usually when I'm filling out the triangle, I'm like talking about a certain situation. Again, you do not want to do this in the middle of the argument or in the middle of the meltdown, but after kind of analyze and look at like, hey, what was happening here? Like I talk about my daughter, stuffy nose, like she was feeling upset, worried, thinking she's never going to sleep. And then, okay, what were the actions? What did you do? She was pacing the room. She started to cry. She came in to find me. And then it was like, okay, well, what were you thinking? And that usually the thoughts is going to be the hardest part because they can usually identify how they felt and then what they did. And sometimes the actions may be responses like if it is they yelled at their brother or sister, well, he made me do it, you know? So you got to kind of point them back to like, okay, we're not talking about other people and circumstances and how that affected you. We're talking about what did you do in this moment for the actions. And then the thoughts are going to kind of work backwards. Like, okay, what were you thinking? I was thinking, I'm never going to sleep. Do you see how that could make you feel even more anxious? Do you see how that could make you kind of even sweaty or like have that heart, you know, fast heartbeat? Because sometimes kids don't know that their bodies are sending them signals, that tickling in their stomach is telling them something or that like if they feel like they're clenching their fists, like their body is trying to tell them something. And so I think if we can get them to start to realize what those signals are and see, then they can work backwards to, okay, if I stop that thought loop of I'm never going to sleep to like, I eventually will fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells me that I will lie down in my peace and my sleep will be peaceful mm-hmm. and sweet. It's going to change how you feel and it's going to change what you do. Right. And so again, none of those points of the triangle are our circumstances. So right. I think it really gets the kids out of like, your circumstances don't need to change for you to change. Wow. And it really shows how the thoughts are really connected to the feelings and what we do.
Wow. And I love that because I was thinking how Luke, who's my surfer, has talked about how before he goes out to surf, or even when he's in the water waiting for the next wave, sometimes he'll literally be shaking, and how that used to trip him up because he would feel out of control because his body was shaking. But he could say, you know what? These nerves are actually preparing my body to do what I have to do next, and kind of get excited and go, look, the fact that my legs are shaking means I am ready to get on that next wave. And redirecting how he perceives those physical feelings helps him to then channel it in a healthier way, right? So I just thought that was really
cool. Oh my goodness, that's so good. Yeah, that's a great example. Because I think we can, if we feel two things, we can tend to focus on like the negative emotion and be like, why am I feeling that? Oh no, something's like going to be bad or going to be wrong. And so that's a great way that he reframed that situation.
Yes. Hey friends, one of the many myths about homeschoolers is that homeschoolers do not attend college after high school. Now, sometimes that is the case, and there are some great alternatives to going to college. But if your child is interested in pursuing some kind of career that requires college, like my two oldest sons have, then college is really important. And the truth is, you can absolutely go to college after being homeschooled, especially if you have great curriculum. That's why I love to tell you about the DiveIntoMath.com curriculum, where our good friend Dr. Shorman teaches amazing math and science classes through the AP level. Now, my two oldest sons studied engineering and data analytics in college, and they give Dr. Shorman lots of credit for both getting into college and getting good scholarships into college, as well as a smooth transition into their college classes after being homeschooled. So, a few things you need to know about DiveIntoMath.com. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective. My boys loved that they had four-day school weeks with short lessons, but Dr. Shorman was able to make it all interesting and pack so much information into each lesson. Also important to note that Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Now, Dr. Shorman's math classes are based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. Friends, you want to run over to DiveIntoMath.com, check out everything they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed. Hey friends, if you have been around my podcast for long or read any of my books, you've probably heard me talk about how important it is that kids understand their identity in Christ. Because the world around us will tell our kids a lot of things about who they are, but as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. So if you've ever had challenging conversations with your kids and wondered what to say when your kids ask about same-sex marriage or other tricky cultural topics, or if you want to know how to weave scripture and conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life, Christian Parenting has a resource for you. It's called Identity Simplified, and this is the resource you need. Now, Identity Simplified is Christian Parenting's new digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like these. Ready? What it means to be made in the image of God, how our identity in Christ changes our purpose, what the Bible says about sexual identity and gender identity, how we're supposed to treat others, and more. You will also find conversation guides, discussion starters, and scripts to use with your kids, which is so helpful. And because this guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer, and you can search through all the resources there whenever you need. So, friends, this is a bargain and a half. It is $5 right now. That's right. If you go over to cpgive.org, you will find this whole digital guide that you can download for just $5. So trust me,
there's some resources from me in there and a whole lot of other great people. This is well worth your $5. So hurry over to cpgive.org. Check it out. I think you're going to love this resource.
You kind of alluded to it, but you didn't use the word, I don't think. Talk to us briefly about metacognition and how we can explain that to our kids.
Yeah. So metacognition is just the fancy word of thinking about what you're thinking about. And so, again, I think I was talking a little bit about asking my kids, like, when did you realize that you have thoughts, you know? But a cool thing to do, and I did this and have my daughter do it for the book too, to just see like how we responded when we did it, is to set a timer, take away all distractions, and just write down every thought that comes to your mind. And it really is amazing how many random thoughts pop up that you're like, I wasn't even thinking about that. And all of a sudden it came up, or how you could be thinking two thoughts at the same time. And if they're really young and they can't write, they could just tell you, or they could draw pictures about what they were thinking. And it just gives them the opportunity to pause, because we live in such a fast-paced world with so much stimulation. I mean, I didn't include this in the book, but even TV shows, I like had done research at one point, are moving at such a faster, like the screen is changing so much faster than they did when on shows that we grew up on. And so it's just creating this excessive stimulation, this constant need to be stimulated. And if we live on that, we're never going to take the time to pause and say, what's really running through my head? Like, what was I thinking in that situation? Or how am I really feeling about starting a new school or about making friends? And we need to give our kids that chance to just pause and say, what are you really thinking about in this moment?
Yeah. I think that's such a helpful tool for us all of our life. Like, sometimes I just get in the car and I'm like, I need to just process my thoughts, like no music, no phone. Just like, because we don't give ourselves much time to do that.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I was thinking about that the other day. I was a swimmer. I swam in college. So I would literally write papers in my head at practice, because when you're swimming, your head is in the water. Like, you can't talk to anyone. And during, you know, when you're at the wall, you can, but you have like 10 seconds to say something. So I would think for 2 hours straight just about random things. And I was like, I don't feel like I'm giving myself that time anymore to just kind of process like life and what's happening and thinking about what to do. Yeah, I feel like we constantly just put on the radio or put on a podcast
and scroll on our phones.
And we're just, not giving our brains that time to really say, what am I thinking about? And so I think it's such a gift if we can teach our kids that at a young age. You know, we're learning that now as moms, but if we knew that when we were young, I think it's only going to help them as they get older.
Yes, it is so true. And another reason to not pack our kids' schedule so full that they don't have the margin and that space to just think about what they're thinking about. Okay, now before we close, I do want you to walk us through some of the main mental mistakes our kids make. In fact, we all make, and maybe how to reframe some of the ways we think that lead us to those mental mistakes.
Yeah, for sure. So in, I think that's chapter 4 of my book, I go over the most common mental mistakes that adults and kids make. And so one of the big ones that I find myself in often is, I'll be happy when. And again, that kind of goes back to thinking like our circumstances need to change in order for us to be happy. And so as a mom, you may think, I'll be happy when my kids sleep through the night, or when they can make their own lunches, or when I don't have to do this for them or that. But the problem is like that timeline or that goal always keeps changing. And it's like, okay, then when they're sleeping through the night, it's like, okay, well, now I'll be happy when this happens. And we never really have peace or happiness in the moment. And for kids, it might be like, I'll be happy if I make the soccer team. I'll be happy when I get a phone. And that, like, those things are just temporary. Like, I'm not going to say that it's not going to make you happy, because it might in the moment, but it's going to be a temporary happiness. And so we really need to learn. I was looking at savoring, and the research was so fascinating how much savoring can just bring us peace and happiness throughout the day. Because, and they say, do one thing that you normally rush through and do it slowly and be intentional about it. And it's like, how often, I think too, moms of littles, we just shove food
just
in our mouth.
We don't taste our food.
Yeah. It's like, we have 1 second to eat before someone needs help, or before I need to go do this or that. And it's, even showering, it's like, okay, I need to quick shower before I hear someone yelling for me. And it's like, what if we just took one thing during the day and we just learned to slow down and just enjoy it? And like, thank God for it. Like, thank God for the flavors of the food. Thank God that you have food before you, or that you have warm water coming down you in the shower. And teaching our kids, like you said, sending them outside, like notice what God is doing outside, notice what God is doing in this. And I think, I mean, the research proves it, but I think too, there is something about that. God talks about meditating on things that are lovely and pure and excellent and praiseworthy. And so we need to actually give ourselves a chance to do that instead of always wishing for the next best thing.
So good. I love that. Okay. A couple other of the mental mistakes.
But yeah, a few other ones that I talk about are using, kids use the words always and never. Like, I never get to do this. And you always give her this. And I always have to do this. Yes. And we kind of are dramatic. And it's like, is that really true? Like, is it really always I say this? Or you never get to do this? And so it kind of is just like that reality check of, I mean, even if kids say that about schoolwork, like, I'm never going to be able to do this, or I never get my math correct. And so that can lead to a belief about ourselves. Like, our thoughts eventually lead to beliefs about ourselves. And so we need to make sure we're kind of catching that and making sure that they're accurate and that our thoughts are helpful and true.
Fact check, right? My son's always fact checking my husband and I. And so when he does his whole, like, we never, I'm like, dude, I got to fact check you on that one. Like, come on. Let's be true.
I love it. But I think other ones too are focusing on the bad. We kind of dismiss the good and just think that, you know, life is always going to be this way, or it's always hard for me. And then we're really just missing out. Cause I mean, the trouble with some of these is, like, sometimes motherhood with small kids is hard. Like, I'm not saying we deny reality and just say, like, always think positive thoughts, because it is hard. But I think it's looking at it from, like, okay, this is hard, but I can still find the good even in the hard. And not just letting it get to that spiral again, because if we let ourselves go down that road where we just start complaining about everything in our minds, like, of course we're not going to be happy. Of course we're going to feel irritable and be snippy when our kids ask us for something. And so, those are a few.
I love that. Yeah. And there's many more. And I just appreciate how much you keep circling back throughout the book to the fact that, you know, this isn't just about mustering up the right positive mental attitude, but we really need the Holy Spirit, because we can't do this stuff. And for a moment, we might be able to put on a good attitude, but it will not last if it's not a work done through the Holy Spirit in our hearts, right?
Yeah. And I think you're right. We need to lean on the Holy Spirit, and we need to lean on God's word, because it's powerful. It's sharp. It can discern those deep thoughts and intents of our heart. And so we need to use it as a weapon. It's the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. I always thought that was interesting. Like, it's obviously important to protect ourselves, but then also to be on the offensive to fight back. We need the word of God.
I love that. Okay, final topic. I really appreciate your focus on guarding our kids' hearts and how that is not being overprotective. That is doing your job. And no one should feel bad or feel like they need to explain themselves for guarding their kids' hearts. This is, like, absolutely crucial in the world we live in today. So maybe take a quick moment to talk about that before we wrap up.
Yeah, that's so good, because I think I hope I stress throughout the book, I don't want to put fear into people. Like, we do live in a dark world, but I believe God put us in this generation for a specific time such as this. And God knew that, you know, our kids needed to be in the world that it is today. But that doesn't mean that we just, like, give them free access and free reign to everything. And so we have been really intentional. And I was just saying to my husband the other day, I'm like, I hate when I'm watching a show and I'm like, I feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit of, like, this is not one of those things. This is not lovely. This is not pure. This is not excellent. Yeah. And it's like, oh, because it's so easy to just want to be like culture. But God tells us that we are going to be set apart, that we're not citizens of this world. And he calls us a peculiar people. And so our life is going to look different from the rest of the world. And that's going to be uncomfortable sometimes for us as adults, but also kids. And I think we need to just, again, show them the blessing of obedience and the blessing of being in right standing with God and listening to those promptings. Because my kids have said things at pretty young ages of, like, this doesn't feel right, or that seems really dark. And then I always pause and I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Like, that is, like, you need to listen to those voices, because those are warnings. And if we just quickly dismiss them And again, on that hamster wheel of stress and life, we're not going to realize what we're feeding. Like people who watch the news all the time and then say they're anxious, like no wonder, you know, because what are you feeding yourself? And so it's so important, I think, for parents to not be anxious about it, but to be careful and insightful and bring everything to prayer and God, but then also teaching their kids to be little guardians so that they know if something feels uncomfortable, I can go to mom and I can trust her to be the source of information and she's not going to get mad, but I can talk to her about it and we can decide the best course of action, whether it's like not listening to a song. We've printed out lyrics, I don't want to step on people's toes, but of Taylor Swift. And I'm like, look, is this what we should be feeding our minds? Like, because our oldest daughter at gymnastics is like, everyone's talking about the new Taylor Swift album. And I don't want to just be like, you can't listen to this, you know, but explaining why and showing them like, look what this is saying. And do you think that lines up with what God's word says about you and about your relationships? And there's a reason why we want to be careful with that and not feed that into our spirits.
Ah, that's so well done, Lauren. That's not easy. I don't have girls, but good on you for handling it that way, because I think that's really honoring your daughter and walking her through this in a way that teaches her how to approach things, because we don't want to just jump to a conclusion because of anybody's opinion, but let's align it with the word of God. So good. Wow. Okay. Well, final word of wisdom with all the things we've talked about, if you were to leave people with, you know, one nugget, what would you encourage people, parents who are maybe new to thinking about their kids' thought life and training their kids in all of these things? Do you have one nugget you can leave us with?
Yeah, I think that this is probably something I would be feeling sometimes when I listen to parenting podcasts or read parenting books. Then I'm like, I'm doing everything wrong and I need to change this and I need to do that. And then like, I put all this pressure on myself to be the perfect parent. And so there is no condemnation here. And if you have thought bad thoughts and if you have passed down thoughts to your kids that you realize like some of the things they're repeating or things that I've said, like it is okay. You have new mercies every morning and God can do a work in you. It's never too late. Nothing is too far to be redeemed. And just give it to God and just rest in his peace, knowing that he will show you the path. It says that the Bible says, we make plans, but God orders our steps. So just let him order your steps and be available. And he will show you that path.
Such a good word. Thank you, Lauren, so much. If people want to hop on and just find you online, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, so I'm probably most active on Instagram, which is inspired.motherhood, but I also send out a weekly newsletter that they can sign up on my website, which is inspired-motherhood.com. And yeah, I would love to connect with other parents and just hear their stories and pray with them too.
Amazing. Thank you. We'll put all of that in show notes. Thank you so much for your time, Lauren. I'm super encouraged. Love your book and hope everybody can get their hands on it as well. So thanks for being here. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And again, find show notes and links to everything we talked about over at monicaswanson.com/Lauren-Gaines. More great parenting topics coming up the rest of this month and into November. Next week, we are going to cover an especially hot topic as I interview an incredible author on the topic of parenting without panic in an LGBT world. So prepare yourself for a really good, really encouraging episode. Spread the word. This is the first time I've covered this topic, so I really hope it's helpful to you. All right, friends, continue to look for my Q&A Thursdays on Instagram stories. Keep in touch with me. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.